it's not something we're in 24/7, but it does come up every now and then.
And that to me is what I prefer. Like, I would not want to be like, I have to get on a Zoom meeting with my team. Do I have your permission, Daddy? I can't do it day to day life.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Question: do you dress for the occasion? And by occasion, I mean sex. Because wearing things that make you feel hot can make a huge difference. That's what we're talking about today. Listening to your feelings and dressing or undressing your way toward your sexual desires. In this best of episode, I'm talking leather, lingerie, and how to wear your sexual fantasies on your sleeve or your thigh highs. Next, we talk DDLG, or Daddy Dom Little Girl, a kink that might be exactly what you're looking for, but only with the right boundaries. Finally, I get into green flags and red flags with your partner and how to spot toxic traits before you're in too deep. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you to do the same. My intention is to help you feel playful and liberated in your sex life, whether that's through the way you dress or the way you approach kink. The key to both is feeling safe and secure, and that's exactly what we'll be talking about today. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new article, 3 Things You Need to Know About Your Scent and Sexual Attractiveness, is up at sexwithemily.com. Check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And it's totally cool to change your name or choose to remain anonymous. All right, before we begin today's episode, I want to tell you about one of our longtime sponsors, Promescent. Now, Valentine's Day is coming up, and as pleasurable as the day and night can be, I hope, I also know it can come with some added pressure to perform. And listen, for penis owners who already struggle with premature ejaculation, some of you might up, you know, being more in your heads than in your bodies, which happens. Well, this is where Promescent comes in. Their delay spray helps penis owners last up to 64% longer in bed. All you need to do is spray Promescent onto the most sensitive parts of your penis, wait 10 to 15 minutes before penis play, or even better, just incorporate it into your foreplay. It's a great time to please your partner while you're waiting. And the effects will last up to a whole hour. Plus, they have arousal gels for vulva owners that boost blood flow to the clitoris for greater arousal and heightened sensitivity, which is also a really fun thing to do. Play with that. With Promescent, you'll have nothing to worry about this Valentine's Day or any day. Go to promescent.com/Emily for 15% off. That's promescent.com/Emily for 15% off, or just click the link in our show notes. All right, one more announcement before we get into the show, that I am coming out with a book. I know. It's major. This has been such an amazing experience, and I can't wait to share it with all of you. It's called Smart Sex, How to Boost Your Sex IQ and Own Your Pleasure. It's coming out on June 13th, and I'm so excited. I really cannot wait to tell you more about it. And if you want to make sure you snag one of the first copies of the book, please, please, please pre-order the book on harpercollins.com. And don't worry, we've always got you covered in the show notes. You can just use that link. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
So I want to give you ideas about how you can do something in your relationship that's a little bit more fun and outside your box. And I was thinking about how things like role playing like that, where you don't need a lot of prep, you don't need a lot of costumes, you don't have to go out and buy a French made costume. You can just show up and use your words. You can play with dominant, submissive, you know, power play. It's really just the act of doing one thing different in your relationship. And so I was thinking about this time, my ex-boyfriend, we were dating for a while. Maybe we were dating for 6 months. And he kept saying to me, I want to see you and, you know, wear some lingerie and wear those like sexy garter things. Those are really hot. Okay, tell me if you can feel me in this. This is for people who wear garters. It's a pain in the ass. Yes, they're sexy. They're thigh highs. I understand the whole thing. But you have to have them clipped to a thing and then have them lined up perfectly. So my boyfriend said to me, I would love it if you came over sometime and surprised me. And he had an idea of what he thought was sexy. And I was like, okay. So I go in my drawer and I was like, okay, let me dig out the garters because I'm going to go to his house tonight. It had been 6 months we've been dating and he brought it up twice. And I thought, I'm going to wear the garters and put in something sexy. And luckily enough, I had a friend over this night. She's a stylist and she used to work for Victoria's Secret. And I said, can you help me? I've been wanting to dress up for my partner and for myself. And I want to feel sexy because once I do it, I actually like it. But it's just making that effort. It's sometimes it takes planning to fulfill a fantasy or to role play or to do like that one thing different that I believe we all need to do in relationships from time to time. I have all this lingerie. Let's put together an outfit. I'm going to go over to his house because I have to be there in an hour. Here's what you have to do if you're wearing these garters. You have to put on each stocking like one at a time. And then it has a seam in it. And you have to make sure it's lined up. And then you slide the garter part that clips. You step into that. And then there's these friggin' annoying clips that you have to make sure they clip around the stockings. And I don't know. I'm just not great. It takes a beat. But she made sure they were straight. And then I put on this like lace bodysuit. I had some layers on to make it really sexy. I love layering underwear. Like you can layer wider underwear and then you can put like a thong so you can take things off. And I had a whole plan. So I'm putting all the clothes on. I was running late too, because that happens and it takes a little bit extra time. But I was like, I'm feeling good. And I looked hot. But then I realized it was pretty hot in LA. And I wanted to get dressed, but I couldn't throw on like flip-flops because when you're wearing stockings over your toes, you can't do that. So I thought, it doesn't look good under clothes. Sometimes if you have little things sticking out, none of your shirts ever work with it or your skirts don't work with it. So I said, okay, I'm going to put on just jeans because I have to wear boots. And I put on my clothes and I go over to his house and I walk in and his air conditioning is broken. And I start to sweat and I'm wearing this really sexy outfit and all these layers and I sit down and he's like, you know, we should just talk about this thing, this challenge in our relationship. And I realize that I am so hot and I'm sweating and I'm wearing this outfit. And then we start to fight about things and then I have like beads of sweat and I'm thinking, I finally dressed up for this guy. And now we are fighting. And then I started itching and I took off my shoes and he's like, what? What are you doing? And I was like, I'm wearing this goddamn thing. It's I don't know what I don't think I said that, but that's what I'm thinking. I'm wearing this really uncomfortable thing. And I don't think I got to wear my outfit, which reminds me, probably need to get it all together again for someone else I'm seeing. So I don't know why I waited so long. Because if it had gone well, probably would have been a hot night. I don't ever want to have to take those 10 minutes putting on a thing because I don't actually find them particularly sexy, but thigh highs. I think thigh highs are hot without having to do with like the antiquated little garter things. I could have just showed up with something that I felt 100% sexy in, or that I felt, you know, more myself in, and not try to do everything that he wanted without thinking about myself. And I also waited a while to do it. I didn't prioritize it. I know that your partner has probably said to you, how come you don't initiate more? Or I would love it if you initiated sex, you never do. And then you leave that conversation saying, oh, okay, I'm going to initiate. I'm going to do it. And then the next day you're like, oh, you know what? I should initiate. And then you're like, but I'm not sure how. And then weeks go by and then your partner's like, I asked you to initiate. The challenge is if you have kids at home and there's no time changing diapers, none of that makes you feel sexy. So the best thing you could do is just call it out with your partner and say, you know what? I realize we just nothing sexy about our situation right now. Let's try to find a time just for us without the kids at home. Maybe they'll all be out on Saturday morning from 10 to noon. Maybe they're going somewhere. Maybe you could have a babysitter come in and you can get a hotel room for a few hours. Maybe you have a friend who's out of town and she's your bestie and you'll say, can we just come over and go into your guest room? We'll bring our own sheets. We need to have sex for 3 hours. I love the idea of just switching up locations for a beat because even if it's a few hours, just that anticipation of moving bedrooms and then you know that sex is going to happen because you're looking forward to it. That's even a precursor to having a new location like a hotel or a friend's place. So I say prioritize it, talk about it, find a workaround, schedule sex. Let's talk to Steve, 55, in Kentucky.
Hey, can you hear me all right?
I got you.
My wife likes to masturbate when I'm not around. Should I be worried I'm not fulfilling her? And I really like the leather outfit. How do I get her to wear it?
Great question, Steve. Both of them. I don't think you should be worried about masturbation at all. I love that your wife is masturbating when she's home because that means that she's really in her body and she wants to feel good. And she knows that masturbation is part of being a sexually healthy person. So I don't think there's anything to worry about unless, I mean, how's your sex life, Steve?
Yeah, pretty good. You know, a couple times a week. You know, she likes to go down. I go down on her. So
that sounds good to me.
That stuff's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that that's
oral sex.
Great. Yeah. I think it sounds good to me. Do you think there's something wrong with masturbating at home alone?
No, I just, you know, make sure she's satisfied. You know, if that's the way she has to be satisfied, you know, I'd be a little worried about it sometimes.
Yeah. But you know that she's having orgasms with you, right?
Yeah. If not, she fakes it real good. So.
Well, how long have you guys been together?
20-something years, so.
Oh. So, Steve, how'd you know she was masturbating at home? Did she tell you or you walked in on her? What happened?
No, she told me, and then I bought her a vibrator, so.
Nice.
You know.
Well, Steve, that sounds like an excellent opportunity to say, hey, I'd love to see you masturbate. Why don't we do some mutual masturbation together? You know, I'd love to watch you turn yourself on. I think that would be really hot. You could also say, God, thinking about you masturbating at home is such a turn on. Tell me, what do you think about? Is there something you want to try in our relationship? How can I be a better lover to you?
She won't ever tell me what she fantasizes about. She just says, oh, I'm thinking about you, which I know she's lying, but still.
Well, maybe there's a way to say, I'd love to take our sex life to the next level. Let's try something different. Let's do something fun. What's a fantasy that you want to try we haven't done yet? And I'll share one with you.
Oh, she
That's what
that
we
I
all
like
want, right? You
want
to be fucked
where? She's eating somebody else out. But.
Oh, so do you guys have threesomes?
Nah, she wouldn't do that.
How do you know?
So, I already asked her. She said no.
Well, so. I mean, but maybe you guys could talk about it when you're, like, as a dirty talk situation and be like, right now I'm picturing someone going down on you and this is happening and I'm eating you from behind. I mean, that's a really hot thing to do.
Yeah, I talk about it, but she doesn't like that, so. But she will wear the leather outfit sometimes, so how do I get her to do that more?
I think you can tell her that you think it's so hot when she wears this leather outfit. You could just say, I've been thinking about that.
Oh, yeah, I say, I like when you wear the leather boots and the skirt. She'll, well, I don't think it looks that good on me. I say, well, I think it does, so.
Well, do you ever ask her what makes her feel sexy? Like, what does she feel sexy in?
I don't know. I guess I should ask her.
I think that would be great. Because you know what I was just talking about, Steve? It's so funny you call in. But I was actually having a therapy session with myself before you called in because I was trying to analyze why when my boyfriend asked me to wear these garter things that are pain in the ass, I was like, why didn't I do it earlier? And then I thought, well, because that's not the sexiest thing to me. What is sexy are these other thigh highs I have and this other bodysuit. And if I show up in something that's not that different, it just didn't have the little hooks,
right. But
it still goes up to my thighs and I felt sexy and comfortable. Is he going to kick me out of his room for not wearing garters? So I love that.
Probably not.
But I didn't think I had permission, like on my own, because I'm so busy and ironically, I wasn't thinking about what I wanted. I just, okay, he wants me to wear something. So maybe with your wife, I love this as an opening, an invitation for you, Steve, to have a next level, non-judgmental, very open, very positive conversation with your wife you've been with for 20 plus years and say, you know what? I love when you wear that leather outfit, but what would be sexy to you? You want to go shopping and buy something? What turns you on?
Yeah.
I want to continue to go to the next decade with killer sex. What can we do?
All right. Now, do you like wearing leather outfits?
I do like wearing leather outfits. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Well, good.
I think leather's sexy.
What do you have that you like to wear?
I love my leather pants. So I hope this isn't going in another direction, Steve. You're asking me what I'm wearing. I'm not wearing them now. I love leather pants. I love leather pants.
I'm just trying to figure out what.
Okay, this is where I feel sexy. In fact, ironically, my ex-boyfriend, we met because I was wearing these leather pants, and he saw me from behind. He was like, those pants were hot. So, and I've known those pants are hot. So I like wearing big shirts that kind of show, you know, like my boyfriend's shirt shows, you know, a little cleavage, but kind of still buttoned up. I like wearing thigh-high boots, bodysuits.
Before we take a quick break, I want to tell you about another one of our longtime sponsors, Magic Wand. Again, I'm sure many of you want to make this Valentine's Day special for both your partner play and your own solo play. So why leave anything off to chance? With the Magic Wand Original, you won't have to worry about your toys not being charged or your Bluetooth connectivity failing. The original wand-style massager plugs directly into the wall and has incredibly powerful, deep, rumbly vibrations that you can count on to deliver every time. And you all know I love a good massage to enhance intimacy and relax after a long day. Well, the Magic Wand also feels incredible on your shoulders, your back, or really anywhere where you'd use a massager. And for the size of the Magic Wand, in this case, the bigger the better, it's certainly affordable for a toy that you will use time and time again. At a retail price of $70, the Magic Wand is definitely a bang for your buck. We have an article on our site all about the Magic Wand right now, which you can check out at sexwithemily.com/magicwand. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand, or check it out in our show notes. Stick around, because when we're back, we'll be talking more about lingerie and all about DDLG. Promise you won't want to miss this. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
We're just talking about what are some requests your partner has made for you to wear. And did you do it? Did you wear it? What do you feel sexy in? Amanda, you were saying that you found out that your boyfriend, what's he into?
Yeah, so he really likes crop tops and cropped sweatshirts. And I've tried to like understand why, because his like favorite outfit for me to wear is like a crop sweatshirt and socks. He says he likes it because he likes the idea of being half dressed, like not being able to wait to take off all your clothes types of things. So anytime I wear like, I have this one cropped sweatshirt that I wear because it's comfy all the time. But whenever he sees me wear it, he's always like, oh, you're wearing the sweatshirt.
But doesn't that feel good that he looks at you and says, oh, that's hot. And I like that.
Oh yeah. The fact that like I'm like you, when you were saying earlier that like your favorite comfy clothes are sexy clothes, I was like, I can
That's it.
I totally agree.
I feel still comfortable because I'm always about comfort. I don't wear anything that's not comfortable, even out. I can't wear wool sweaters. I can't wear things that are super, super constricting. But I want to be comfortable because then if you're wearing something stiff, here's what it is. If you're wearing garters or a really constricting thing, for me, being comfortable in your body sexually is so much about feeling free, being able to move. So I think it actually takes a beat to think, what do I find sexy? And here's a tip is that you could find something that you feel the sexy in. So let's say for you, when you wear, let's say wearing a mini skirt or any kind of skirt is your where you feel the sexiest. You could find a skirt, you know, that you feel sexy in that you could also just wear a bra with it, right? So maybe just because when you're wearing a skirt, you like to pull it up your legs. And so you could incorporate things, or maybe you love wearing scarves. You could just wear a scarf. Right? If that's something that makes you feel sexy every time you throw it on, bring it into the bedroom. There are no rules here. You know, think about what makes you feel hot.
It's also a little bit easier. Like, I remember one time I was trying to put on this really intricate lingerie that I saw like on Victoria's Secret. And I had made the mistake of having like two glasses, maybe three glasses of wine before trying to put on this lingerie. So I go in the bathroom and I'm like, trying to put it on. I cannot figure out the garters. I'm like stumbling. And my partner at the time was like knocking on the door. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, one second. I'm
right. Yeah. That exact thing. That's so true. It's so funny because it's a complicated thing. So did you have partners in the past who like something totally different, Amanda?
We've talked a little bit about DDLG on the show before. And
Daddy Dom Little Girl.
My first time dating a daddy was kind of peculiar because he wanted me to wear like little girl stuff. And on one hand, it was like super, like it was like the most inexpensive like lingerie ever. But on the other hand, I was really young and I didn't like know a lot about the kink. So I was like, this is kind of weird. You want me to wear like frilly little socks and a t-shirt with a popsicle on it? And then I like looked into it and I was like, okay, wait, this is a whole thing. Like this is a subculture.
It is a subculture. Did you, and isn't it funny? It's like our most popular blog on the website. One of them at sexwithemily.com. Could you get into any part of it? Because there are different facets of it. There's like being the brat or being the little girl, you know. Did you play out the role with him? Like, did he ground you or spank you, or he probably spanked you?
Oh yeah. I totally got into it. I was converted.
I think it's fun. I've never gone that. I've done it in the bedroom a little bit, but not as a relationship, not really playing it out in day-to-day life. How did you do it? Tell me, what was your scenario like?
I remember at one point we were long distance. So we had rules. I had to like text him to ask him permission for certain things. And that was kind of fun. I think like, the like idea of punishment at like any point is kind of like exciting. And like, yeah, being a brat, like saying no and seeing what would like happen like to you. And we've talked about before how like being a sub is really fun when you're a type A person. Cause in real life, I'm like, I'm in control of everything. I need to get shit done. I need to do this, this, this. And so then when you're like in a BDSM or DDLG kind of relationship and you are this like powerhouse independent woman, it's nice to like have somebody take care of you for a change.
Yeah, it really is. Would you do that again? Would you be in a power relationship?
Yeah, I was going to say that I think that I would do it again and I do it again. I think that it's a really like you can like play around with it in your relationship without like committing to it 100%. Like it's not the norm. Like it's not something we're in 24/7, but it does come up every now and then.
And that to me is what I prefer. Like I would not want to be like, I have to get on a Zoom meeting with my team. Do I have your permission, daddy? I can't do it day to day life. But in the bedroom, I was like, daddy, do you want to, you know, I would, yes, I think that that could be really hot. Was it, so the whole relationship was that?
I wouldn't say the whole relationship. It actually kind of became a little bit of a problem because it started to bleed into, we tried to keep it for the bedroom only, but then it would start to bleed into our personal life. And he got like really controlling. And I was like, this is too much. Like
controlling. That is one of those toxic traits that just happens so gradually, right? Like, you wouldn't date anybody off the bat. It's like, I'm going to try to control your life and tell you who you could be friends with and where to spend your money and what you should wear, right? It's such a insidious process, I think, where you don't really realize it's there until you're like, oh shit, right? They try to take control.
Yeah, it's so important if you're ever in like a BDSM or like DDLG or any sort of relationship where there is that kind of power dynamic to like create boundaries, because it's really easy to blur those lines, like what's acceptable in the bedroom versus what's acceptable in real life.
I want to hear a little bit more about it, if you wouldn't mind, the scenarios that were hot and then when it got to be too much.
On one hand, I really liked, like in the bedroom, I really liked being told what to do and how to be, like what position to be in, that kind of thing. Like a lot of the times we would start it off with like a bath and just like feeling really nurtured. And then it would be like a more controlling aspect. And that was like really nice. But in real life, then my ex, my partner at the time, would start to be like, one of my plays was getting done in New York. So I was like, I'm going to New York for a week. And he was like, you're just going to leave for a week. And I was like, this is not something I need your permission for.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you noticed that. I think you're right. Especially when you're an independent woman with a life and a lot going on. But for some people, I guess maybe it's familiar, and you know, maybe their parents were like that. And then it becomes attractive, or they don't want to lose the person. This reminds me of this thing I was reading about. If you have a really good relationship, these things aren't going to happen. You wouldn't allow them to happen. And when you see them all in one place, they make decisions for you. Of course, you make decisions together, but they're not just calling all the shots. They're not the only ones planning. They're not the only ones saying where you're going to go and when you're going to do it. I mean, just all of these, I was like, oh my God, I've had these experiences, or you guys have called in with these experiences that you've had like one of these, but you could also be with people who do all of these things.
It's really hard to kind of notice that behavior, especially if you're a people pleaser, especially if you're a sweetheart. It doesn't matter what gender you are. If you're the kind of person who is naturally accommodating, you won't like always realize that you're being taken advantage of. So it takes like a minute for you to step back and be like, wait a minute, this isn't right.
Exactly. That's exactly it. We don't often realize, but I think also we have to trust our guts. Like if you feel like they never apologize, this drives me crazy, people who never apologize. In unhealthy relationship, partners usually have to come to some conflict phase in order to get an apology or even awareness of an issue. But some couples never get to the point where, I don't know, well, I didn't really do it wrong, or I didn't mean to. So they never apologize. You know, you could never compromise. Maybe your partner holds on to grudges. I think a partner who holds on to grudges, well, you did this thing or that thing, and they're constantly bringing this stuff up. Do they dismiss you? I could never handle that. They could never see my point of view ever. They always like, well, you're wrong, and here's why. They don't apologize. They're constantly on their phone. They seem distant. They don't hear you. They're jealous all the time. You feel insecure. You've never felt insecure before, but now you suddenly feel insecure. They're constantly comparing you to others. They know where you feel insecure. Then they're constantly saying, well, you don't do it like our neighbor. But the thing in here that I wanted to bring to everyone here was they resist therapy. If your partner will not go to therapy, that to me is a sign of an unhealthy relationship. It may mean they're not fully invested in your future as a couple. How many people call in and say, well, I told my partner we need therapy, but they just won't do it. You get a toothache, you go to the dentist, your car breaks down, you go to a mechanic, your relationship's in trouble, you can't communicate, go to a therapist.
For the listener's point of reference, I just turned 30, and I feel like I know a lot more now. But I was wondering, it still feels hard sometimes. So like, how does it get easier? Like what?
It's a good question. I think it gets easier in the sense of I don't spend too much time anymore with people that aren't, like I can tell quicker. Like I used to spend 2 years in relationships that clearly were not right for me, or I'd even spend 3 months. But now I know in a date, in 3 dates, it's like there's less to figure out, because you kind of get someone right away. I'm like, oh, this is your issue. It's also my job. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a problem. This is not something I can actually deal with in a relationship. I need someone who's truthful I need somebody who's honest. I need somebody who has good values around their friends or families. They have healthy relationships in their life. Like, I remember when I was 30, I dated a guy who had no friends, zero friends. He had just gone through a divorce. He got married young. And all of a sudden, my life became his life. And I kind of liked that he was available and around. He was very intoxicating in some ways because he was just super fun. And we went to a lot of great live shows and we did fun drugs together and just travel. He was a fun guy. But if I look at it now, it's like, no, if you have no friends and no healthy relationships and you can't sustain them and you have all these other things, I would have dated him for 5 months, which I think I did at the time. You know what I mean? That stuff. And there's the other thing. He's still the guy that my best friends refer to. Remember that guy? I'll call him John. Remember John? Well, you remember him? Like, he's that weirdo I dated that my friends were just like, whoa, because I didn't see it. And I think now you just see it. But there's certain things that aren't easier. Like, there's still things that go wrong that I don't want to see right away, or I want, it just feels really good. And I just sort of push aside the guy was, which I haven't even talked about, the guy I was dating. Didn't live in the country. He was supposed to stay in the country for a while, but he had to leave. It was more of like a love bomb situation when I look at it. He was so into me. I was the perfect woman. You know, nothing made sense in the relationship. Our lifestyles, where we lived, age difference, all the things. But it felt so good to be adored and to be someone who was into me and to be connected in a way. But in looking at it, then I realized after it went past it, like, oh, this is his pattern. He's told me that this has happened. Women just, I start dating them and they become like upset. They really like me. And then I don't know what happens. It's like, because you wrote me these long, beautiful emails about how special I was. That's why, you know what I mean? And then it's like, oh, this isn't reality. So there was all these signs of when somebody comes on so strong and they just say all these things that you kind of are like, I can't believe this is happening. Is this really, we barely know each other. It's a narcissistic move where if I can make somebody feel so good about themselves, and not that they don't genuinely feel it in that moment, then that's going to reflect back to me because they're going to feel so good that it's something that, you know, they're going to show me how great I am because I've made them feel in this elevated way that I actually want to feel as the love bomber narcissist. So if I can put it back on you, which to me felt, this is moving kind of fast. Classic. Anyway, that's what happened. This is from Natalie, 31 in Texas. Love your show. I've been sharing with my friends because I find your episodes on the podcast great and full of relatable information. I want to ask you for advice. I've always been a very sexual person, developed fantasies in my head about someone I'm either interested in or someone I'm seeing. I'm in the process of a divorce. Our sex life was mediocre. There was really no emotional connection, which is why I wanted out. I should have accepted this sooner, but here I am. He'd also withhold sex and intimacy from me as a control factor. He didn't have a sex drive at all. I'm the type of person who needs physical touch, cuddling, or sexual play, and I find myself thinking about sex and passionate intimacy all the time. I have a very high sex drive with simple needs. I've been like this my whole life. How can I sidetrack these thoughts when they arise all the time? Solo play isn't always working to satisfy that desire. And sometimes it's just temporary. Also, there's a new guy that entered my life and literally just met. I want to breach the sex topic and just run wild with him between the sheets, but I don't want to scare him. I think he's interested sexually. Physical attraction's key. Help. Any advice to keep this primal feeling tamed? I'm always in heat. I love a woman in heat. I love anyone in heat. Listen. If you always want sex all the time and you're single and dating, embrace this part of yourself. And to answer your question, I don't know what you're looking for right now. If you just got divorced, I would suggest taking time to kind of figure out who you are and what you want sexually. It sounds like you have some fantasies. So I think when you know that he's somebody you can trust or you want to just, maybe you don't even care about the emotional connection right now. I don't know why you think you would scare him off. But I think if that is a concern you have, I would just, it sounds like you know you're both attracted to each other and just say, so how important is sex to you in a relationship? What are your values around sex? What are your fantasies? I think it's okay to have those conversations without scaring them off. And I also think if you scare somebody off because you talk about sex, they just did you a favor because they're not your person. Listen, if you scare somebody off by being your authentic sexual self, You're being yourself. You're not hiding who you are and what you're into. And you scare them off before you move in together and get married and have children and walk all those things. That's a favor. You should say thank you to that person. I am so glad you left when I showed you what I authentically want in bed and what I'm attracted to and what I'm into. I wish that more people would scare their partners off by expressing their sexual needs before they get married, because then we decide that we have to hide who we are. We don't express our needs. We're prim and proper. We don't talk about our sex drive. We don't say we have a fantasy of being passionately romanced, because that is a big fantasy for a lot of women. Just like Natalie, her fantasy is, you know, a lot of intimate. I love that how she said that it's mindful, passionate intimacy. She fantasizes about it. I fantasize about passion and intimacy. I love passion and kissing and someone is adoring. I urge you all to have that conversation. So how could this situation go wrong? If I meet somebody and they escalate it really quickly, like we haven't even met yet, or maybe we met once and there was no sexual talk, but they escalate it. They send me a dick pic. They just get super sexual and I don't feel safe enough with them. I don't know them yet. It's assumed I'm into them and I just met them. So I guess premature escalation of sex. Now, I was out with a friend and she was married for 15 years and she's now getting divorced and she's recently dating and she's on all the apps and she only wants sex right now. And she's made it very clear. She only wants sex. She's not looking for an emotional commitment. She was in a sexless marriage for 15 years. And so she is delighted when it gets sexual right away. She loves getting a dick pic. She's actually the only woman I've ever met who loves getting dick pics. The only one who's like, oh yeah, I mean, I'm only sleeping with him. Why not send a dick pic? And then I send him my pic. But what I'm saying is we're all different. And so I think we all get to set our sexual barometer of what is violating our standards and what feels really hot. So I believe that, to go back to Natalie's question, that you know what you're into. So I think it's okay to express that and see how they handle it. You don't have to give it all at once. Yeah, no, that's a good point too. She's developed a new behavioral pattern in response to sex as a result of being in a marriage where her partner was using sex as a weapon and her partner was withholding sex. So not only is she reacting to that, she's like, I am free and I want to have sex and I want to be out there. You know, we often sometimes tend to heal our past relationships and our current relationships. So whatever we weren't getting, we want that times 10. So that is part of it, that she might be like this pendulum swinging where she had no sex and now she's like, I want it all the time. Listen, when you're going through divorce and you just start dating again, I don't think that she should just jump to the first person and commit again. But I think that it's great practice. This is also why I love dating. She could practice setting boundaries with him. She could practice saying, this is what I'm into, and then listening to his response and learning this is what a sexually healthy partner, how someone who's healthy responds. Or maybe this guy does something else that's weird and that's not good either. She can keep looking for her ideal scenario in dating and being honest and vulnerable from the jump, which I think so many of us show up with our representative of what we think is our best self. And we hide that until we get to know someone better. And then we're like, here's all my craziness, or here's what I want. And I think the sooner we show people who we really are, the more we can authentically commit to somebody. It's more of an authentic relationship, because if you're not bringing who you are, then they're not really committing to the real you. If you get into a relationship, they're committing to somebody who's a version of yourself. And then that creates so many problems, because you know that this person loves you and you're not fully showing them who you are. So in your mind, you're going, yeah, they think I'm really neat because I clean up every time they come over, but I'm really not a neat person. That's just one example. I'm pretending that I don't have any needs in the bedroom, and I really do. This is what happens. I'm too afraid to show my authentic self because I'm afraid of being judged and this person leaving me. But the irony is, when we hold on to that person for too long, we don't feel confident. And then our partner doesn't really know it. And then that becomes a problem later on. And we actually don't even respect our partner sometimes for loving us, because we think, well, you don't really know the real me. So let's just all be honest and authentic and real, huh? How about that?
That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.